There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's Top of the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Appreciate it, man. Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com joins us right now. Kyle, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're trying to figure it all out as we go along here. And Kevin brought up this morning, he's trying to figure out exactly who not to fear on the Eagles.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody that you're like, hey, let's take advantage of that guy?
I need more positives.
Yeah. I mean, if you could maybe even look at our I'm having some trouble with my – if you had a chance to listen to our podcast this morning, we're kind of in the same dilemma.
Mm.
Really, you look at this team top to bottom defensively, they've got an opportunity to take advantage of maybe some young guys in the secondary. But for the most part, this is just a stout team in all three levels. And they continue to have success offensively, too. Kellen Moore's done a good job of kind of unleashing what Jalen Hurts can do, some of these weapons, despite being limited with injuries, what they can do. And so, yeah, it's a tough matchup, no doubt. But it's kind of getting to that point in time where, especially in a rivalry matchup like this, that the Cowboys are kind of playing with house money. What else do you have to lose with your quarterback out, some of your all-pros possibly coming back with Micah, maybe Duron, probably more so Micah than anything this week. You're trying to get some of these reinforcements back. So when it's a rivalry game and one team has nothing to lose, that's when I think it starts to get into weird territory, and we might be kind of moving into that spot throughout the year, throughout the week.
You start doing the, why not? Why not run that play? Why not try this out?
Why not throw Trey Lance in for a couple of plays and see what he can do on his legs? And maybe you get Rico Dowdle more touches and see what he can do. Deuce Vaughn at the running back spot. So some of these things that maybe you've been reluctant to try because you have Dak and CD and Jake and everybody kind of rolling. It's not really rolling on offense. They haven't been good on offense throughout the year. But you have them trying to establish a rhythm on offense. Now it's like, what rhythm? Let's just go for it. And so that could kind of play a factor this week as well.
Now, devil's advocate, if we can, Kyle.
Let's
say you did try all that stuff and it didn't really work out for you. That's not the worst thing ever, is it?
Like going into this weekend?
No, just the rest of the season. Like, let's say you tried some stuff. Oh, rats, it didn't work out. You lost a whole bunch more games and improved your draft position across the board. That's not the worst thing ever, right?
No, I don't think so, because then you have a better idea of what you have on your roster moving forward. You know kind of who you want to be a part of this and who you don't want to be a part of this. Don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And, of course, I'm a draft guy. I mean, you guys know, and listen to the draft show and draft coverage on the Fan all weekend long whenever we get to April. I love the draft more than anybody, so extra – draft picks and extra draft capital and space to work. That always sounds like fun to me. Do I like losing?
Oh,
is he going to say, does he like losing his signal?
So when? What was that?
Did you like losing your signal because you dropped off for a second? But I was going to ask you, if you had the number 11 pick, let's say, in the NFL draft and you were the Cowboys, would you take Ashton Jeanty?
No, not that high. I love Ashton Jeanty, too. I mean, Frisco product, got to call his high school games for a couple of years here. But no, No, I wouldn't draft him that high. Not a running back and not a guy who has that much of a it's kind of a question mark over his head because of the competition level, too, in the Mountain West, as opposed to Bijan Robinson, who was playing Big 12 and high-level competition as the last running back to go in the first round. So I would wait until the second still to draft a running back.
So you're more of a Chiafalo guy than you are a Broadus guy, then, is what we're hearing here.
I don't know what you're referencing specifically.
He's referencing that draft question.
Yeah,
and
they argued a little bit about it the other day. It was kind of a yeah.
Those are my guys, so I would love to hear. I need somebody send me a link. I want to see what the link looks like.
I got you okay, taken care of there. Yeah,
I'm just not in a position where I'm looking at this football team. If there's a team like Kansas City a couple years ago where you're coming off of a Super Bowl win, you're picking 32nd, and there's a running back on the board that you just love and feel like is going to fit into your system, then go for it. Draft a guy in the first round at running back. But I'm looking at this football team, and I see more worries outside of that position. And if you're picking 11th in the draft, that means you're also picking 11th in the second round. You've got an early 40s pick.
But not the fourth round, you know what I'm saying?
not the fourth round because you got Jonathan Mingo instead. But I think I would wait until that mid-40s pick, and then you're still getting a high-level, high-quality running back. And who's not to say Ashton Jeanty slips a little bit? Maybe some of that Heisman luster falls off, and they start looking at and evaluating him as a pro prospect as opposed to just this ungodly production that he's putting on the table at Boise State right now.
All right, then let's – not Mingo yet, but I am going to ask about Mingo in just a minute, but – Cooper Rush, can you kind of go through the things that you would expect to see from him that you might not see from Dak Prescott or that you would like differently?
Yeah, I mean, Dak has a better arm strength. Usually he's got a bigger gap in terms of the play calling and the read option ability. You're still going to see some of those things, but it's a little bit of a drop off from arm strength, accuracy, stuff like that. But Cooper Rush is a capable NFL quarterback, and there's a reason why he's 5-1 as a starter. Now, most of those games came behind a solid offensive line, came with guys that you felt comfortable with throwing the football to, and a at least semi-stable run game. So this is the worst offense that Cooper Rush has had to play with during his time as a backup quarterback. So there's going to be a bit of a learning curve, I think, whenever it comes to game time. But you go back and you look at the film, Cooper Rush was under pressure multiple times in an Atlanta game, and his stat line's never going to really read anything significant, but he's going to take care of the football, and he's going to give you a shot to make a grab. There were a couple of throws. The one that I thought was maybe his best throw of the day, he got hit in the pocket, pressure off of Tyler Smith, I believe, gave up the pressure off of a stunt inside. He lets it fly downfield to CeeDee Lamb in double coverage and put it on the money. And CeeDee Lamb, dealing with the AC joint injury that he was dealing with initially, wasn't able to hold on to the football. So best throw of the day from Cooper Rush, and it came in the face of pressure. So I think you've got a guy who's a steady hand in the middle of pressure whenever you see the interior of that offensive line struggle against guys this week, like Jalen Carter, Josh Sweat on the outside. I mean, you're going to have success with Cooper Rush throwing the football this week, even though he's going to face some pressure. And I think that's something that maybe Dak was good at, but he just wasn't able to have success with it this year.
Now, we're looking for more positives. One bright spot that I think has been real, but I want to confirm with you, is the play of DeMarvion Overshown. Like, I know you still get some of the inconsistencies that come along with a young player, not technically a rookie, but a young player. But I have been impressed at his, I guess, chase down ability and his physicalness.
Yeah, no, his acceleration is elite. I mean, you remember that conversation earlier in the year from Micah Parsons and the fact that they had the same 10-yard split at the NFL Combine. I mean, that says something for a guy like Demo, who was a safety, converted to linebacker at Texas, and is a couple cheeseburgers away from being an edge rusher body as well. I like the versatility of DeMarvion Overshown, but like you said, the inconsistencies I think have been the reason – he's not utilized more on that defense, because he will give up assignment. He will give up the gap discipline if he's on a blitz. There's a couple different things where he hasn't been perfect.
Agreed.
And Mike Zimmer, I think, is a guy who wants his linebackers to be perfect. That's why he does gravitate toward Eric Kendricks. And even Maris Leofowl, I thought, had a great week last week. He only played, I think, like 6 or 7 snaps, but he was impactful. I think he had 2 tackles and a pressure in those 6 or 7 snaps. They're going to utilize a guy like that who's going to get more bang for their buck than Demo. But I think Demo has the high-end ceiling that you want to utilize. So it goes back to the initial conversation that we had. And a season like this, and in a moment like this where you're playing a team that on paper is healthier, bigger, faster, stronger, why not use your guys that are at least bigger, faster, stronger to try and figure some things out, even if it does lead to a couple of inadequacies, inconsistencies. I love Demo.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, he was a pet cat of mine out of Texas. I think he fits this defense for exactly what they want to do. He's just got to be a little more consistent in doing so.
Fantastic stuff, Kyle. Thank you very much for your time today, sir, and look forward to this weekend and talking with you next week, man.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Send me that link, Corey. I want to know what's going on with Broadus and Chiafalo.
Gotcha. I'll take care of it for you. All right, there goes Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com right there. Now, Kevin, we've been doing something in the 1 o'clock hour that's been a lot of fun of late.
Oh, that is true.
And
not take a load off,
not
Mike.
Take a load off. That's in the 1240, but one Alec Medford has today's mystery clip.
Sorry, Corey, during your own segment.
Oh.
The other thing that we can talk about right now, I took my earbuds out, so I have no clue if there's anything else playing, like going on other than the song that's playing right. Why'd you? You know what? In the hallway, Alec was like, "Hey, don't forget about the mystery clip. It's very topical. This is nothing. This is not topical at all. This has nothing to do with anything other than it's a terrible
song." It
wasn't
a rock. It was a rock lobster.
This is a terrible lobster. Are we done with this yet? Have we stopped playing
it's
it yet?
It's off. It's not even.
It's over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
In your ear!
Yeah, it definitely was in my ear, and for that, huh? I'm going to just go ahead and go into something
else. We were on the beach.
Swimming.
This is going to be the new music bed for the segment.
It's over now.
Okay, I'm still going to keep my earbuds out.
Because you don't trust
us? Don't trust you at all.
That is a smart decision.
Smart decision, yeah, trust me.
I will tell you.
I just saw this, though, and I wanted to kind of... You guys are big Star Wars fans. I love the Star Wars series as well. But we just see this, Kevin. Star Wars episodes 10 through 12 are reportedly in the works. Simon Kinberg is writing the trilogy, although some insiders think that it might be a new saga instead. Simon Kinberg is the guy who also wrote The Fantastic Four with Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, no!
And I believe he tanked X-Men 3 and The Dark Phoenix twice.
Oh, no! Those movies suck!
So, do you...
Where do we go from here, Kevin? Is there a storyline after they destroyed the Emperor again?
Yeah,
I will say, at the end of... I was so excited about these last three.
And then they stunk.
Well, I don't want to say they stunk.
I actually like The Last Jedi, and I know that makes people mad.
I just felt like in the end how the Emperor came back to life was a little bit weird.
I think episode nine is the worst Star Wars movie, and Attack of the Clones is not good, but I think this one's the worst. I would love it. Their main characters, obviously, they're not going to be able to pull this off because Harrison Ford's getting older. Mark Hamill didn't love the last set of movies, and Carrie Fisher passed away. But I would have loved for the Thrawn trilogy to have been thrown out there. I guess maybe they go full on with Daisy Ridley. I thought she was going to do like one more movie, and that was going to be a wrap.
Who did she play?
She's Rey.
Okay.
And so...
The blind piano player that had like,
no, that's Ray Charles. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as I knew that's what you were talking
movie.
About.
They won a Grammy for that.
Stevie Ray Wonder.
So I wouldn't mind if they tried a totally different trilogy and just like the Skywalker saga, it's over.
Okay.
We're going to do something different.
I think they should do one called The Most Jedis, as we found out there was 3,000 Jedis after that there was supposedly just one, uh-huh. And then there was supposedly just two because Luke had a twin sister who wasn't trained at all, but they could possibly train her if Luke turns to the dark side. But then we found out through cartoons that there was actually 3,000 Jedi that were around.
Yeah, and there might be even more Jedi in the future because the Force still exists, you know?
It does.
I don't want to nerd out too much on this, but I did want to ask this. This could be a longer segment on its own, but Kevin, as we were talking this morning, I've finished Agatha all the way or all along.
Can I give you a review?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm paraphrasing again, but not off by too much. Finally, that show's stupid. I'm glad it's over. To which I asked two questions. Why was the show stupid? And why did you keep watching it if you thought it was stupid?
And you're going to keep watching the Star Wars movies, right?
I can't help it. I will tell you this. The only bit of Star Wars I have not seen was I haven't seen The Acolyte. And part of the reason is I know people crushed it. But then the more important part of it was then it got canceled.
Yeah.
And so like before I'd started watching it, they're like, don't worry about it. Just, they're like, we're not doing any more of this anyway.
It's an offshoot. And, you know, granted, there was some cool fight scenes with lightsabers. Like it was fine. But just like that, I'm watched all the Marvel Universe stuff.
Okay.
And so that's where I'm like, I guess I'm just going to keep... Sorry, Alec, if you're trying to say something to me, I have my earbuds out still because I don't trust you. But I like
I'm gonna
over.
Start playing it again.
No, I don't trust y'all.
Should I play it?
You can't put it in your ear one more time just to see if you trust me
Look,
or not.
Okay.
That is a thing I will
keep watching. I can promise you for like the last three minutes or so, the song has been off. I swear.
I won't wear earbuds for the rest of the show is what I'm saying.
He just hates me, guys.
Him and Carter are in there just smiling together.
I have a straight face. They're so funny together.
I can't hear you, Alec. I can't hear you. I love you and everything, but I'm not listening.
You can see his lips, though. You can read them like we read Dax lips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is true. I can do that. But yeah, so that's the Marvel. That's where I am. I'm just like, I don't care if y'all think it stinks.
I'm dancing to the song is back, Corey. For the record, I did not lie. When I said the song had been off for about 3 minutes, the song had been off. For about 3 minutes, at which point Alec did say in my head, well, for real, but like through my ears, he goes, do you think I should turn it back on?
I had to go to Kroger. Is this part of a C block?
I mean,
I'll just leave it at that.
What? That's the end of the story?
I'm looking forward. Time's up.
Just tell me the damn story.
It might be a long story.
They're out of Halloween discounted candy.
Because Halloween was a week ago. That makes sense.
I didn't know. Like, I forgot about November 1st and 2nd. We had things to do. And so I was at Kroger yesterday, and they didn't have any. They had the orange, yellow, and white ones. Branches.
Candy corns.
I couldn't think of the name. Those are still there. Major discount. Whole bunch of them. If you need more candy corns, they got you.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, they already have Christmas candy out. Which is like a faux pas.
What's Christmas candy? Yeah, that is a fake dad.
Stop. Technically, that is the correct usage of that word.
You can't be mad at it.
depending on, that's right.
It's Christmas candy.
Never mind. I just wish people could be here in studio to listen to how many times Mike says faux pas when it's not even close to being right.
It's like when I look up the rabbit thing. They have faux pas.
Also,
shut your mouth,
Kirk
Alex.
Herbstreet's dog Ben passed away.
Oh,
who did?
Kirk Herbstreet's dog Ben.
Nobody knew that dog.
He made quite the social media wave.
Yeah, he was on the show.
Yeah,
he was doing the broadcast.
Some people had an issue.
He was
with
there
that.
during it. So he's no longer with us. The cancer spread throughout his entire organs, and there's nothing left.
Dog gone.
Rest in peace, Ben.
Mike, what are you doing? Are you even dunking on people's dogs dying?
No, I was saying doggone it.
He wanted to say something else, but he kept it clean.
I can't cuss. You can't. Yeah, the FCC won't let me be me. I messed it up.
That's the C block, everybody.
Mike, I'm convinced at this point, whether it's me, Corey, the FCC, your wife, your children, nobody stops Mike Bassick from being him at almost any moment of any day.
You got me.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we have a couple of different options here. Coming up next, it could be option A, how to annoy the Eagles fan in your life. Or it could be option B, a story about the cards that have never been graded PSA 10 ever. Next
like
on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I found another positive I'm going to throw out there for Cowboys-Eagles, and then I'm going to get to what I think will be a fun story. The Cowboys have won 6 straight home games against the Eagles.
All right.
That is their longest active home win streak, behind only
the Giants.
That's correct. They beat the Giants.
I got it before
7
you, Corey.
Straight times in these games. Dallas is averaging 36.1 points per game compared to 19.6 points per game for the Eagles. So not only have the Cowboys beaten the Eagles 6 straight times at home, they are winning those games by an average of 16.5 points. Now, I realize all of that is in the past. So does any of that make you feel any better about this game coming up on Sunday?
1,000%, man.
Yes.
Let's go.
You do not seem to agree.
I don't.
I agree with
Corey. I don't think the Cowboys get to 20, but I guess.
And you don't think their defense can hold them, the Eagles, that is, under 20?
I think the defense is going to be better because Micah Parsons is back. Will it be awesome? No, but I think it will be better because Micah Parsons is going to play.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
I think anything could happen. And now that Kyle has said that, I'm taking that into this game, is that anything could happen, man.
But you wish, I agree, but don't you kind of wish that you didn't have to dig into the
anything could happen?
It's a
well.
Rivalry, throw out the records, anything could happen, like,
yes.
In a professional season?
I wish, like, going into this game with Dak, you feel a lot better because it's Dak, you know? Like, you feel so much better because you've seen him against this team. So I wish, Kevin, that it was a lot better.
Okay, that is fair. Now, I was reading a story by Darren Revell. We've had him on the show. Actually, I guess it was by Ben Burrows. My apologies. But it was part of Darren Revell's Collect website. And it was talking about the cards that have been submitted for grading more than any cards ever that have never gotten a PSA 10.
Do you need to explain for just a second to people who are like,
so
what are you talking
on
about?
The grading scale, PSA and Beckett go 1 through 10. SGC goes 1 through 100. It is essentially like the same, you know, idea, but kind of on the 1 through 10 scale. And so PSA 10 is the top of the top of the top. And I know you're thinking, does that mean for Beckett, a 10 is also the top of the top of the top? True, it is significantly harder to get a Beckett 10 than a PSA 10. So a lot of people think Beckett 9.5 at least used to be equivalent kind of to PSA 10. I know the markets change over the year and everything like that. But so these are the most immaculate cards. And by the way, this is just something we always tell people. Whenever you find a card that you saw was a PSA 10 on eBay from 1964 and you're like, no, I have that card. It's in perfect condition. Like, don't start spending that $12,000 just yet. There's a good chance your card is not a 10. It could be a reprint. You still have to send it off to get graded. So that's going to cost a lot.
What if I have it in a slab and it says PSA 10?
You have it.
You're good to go then.
Just
you
if I have a card that looks like the card,
all right.
Don't worry about it.
So I'm going to throw this out there. Since PSA started in 1991, how many cards do you think they've graded? All of them.
70 million.
That's a lot. 400,000.
Mike's guess was shockingly close. 75 million.
I know, because they have the number.
Oh, okay.
Believe me, I had to look up a lot of those numbers for a certain reason. That now, wasn't
yes.
fun.
From the 214, those graders need to take a load off.
Actually, I have heard some arguments about that. Of those cards, now think about this. When you're like, I got a PSA 10. It should feel special, and I appreciate that. More than 25 million PSA 10s exist. So essentially one out of every three cards that's ever been submitted to PSA has gotten a 10. Now, part of the reason for that is there is a huge influx in the past 4.5 years, and a lot of them are modern cards, and so you get a lot of 10s.
And people are grading them quicker, like,
yes.
as opposed to letting them sit in a box or whatever, like we were when we were kids.
That is true. That is, you're absolutely spot on.
The paper
about
stock
that.
Is way better.
Yes, I agree with all of that. And by the way, if like by comparison, there's already tens of thousands of Wemby PSA 10s out there. And like, he just started his career.
So you're saying that kids aren't putting the cards in their spokes of their bikes anymore?
Okay, real quick, I swear, and you guys can make fun of me if this is a dumb question. Keep in mind, I have a very little kid and a very old kid.
Okay.
Do kids still ride bikes around?
A little bit, and it matters what neighborhood you're in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they love these scooters nowadays, though. But yeah, all my kids have learned to ride a bike and ride a bike. They have done that. But not as much anymore.
Now, the number one card that has got the most submissions and has never pulled a 10. Care to take a guess?
I'm going
to
guess, and maybe there is a 10 out there. I just don't know. Is it the 52 Topps Mantle?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
The 1984 Star Basketball Michael Jordan number 101.
It has the... They just started grading those a year ago.
And I'm sorry, the most set, the most cards in the set that have never gotten a 10. No card has ever gotten a 10.
Okay.
For
you're talking specifically just the
I'm sorry. I said that in a confusing way. Let me start that again. More than 7,000 of these cards from that set have been submitted. More than 400 of them. I'm going to start this over.
It's all right, man. We're here for you.
My apologies.
We have four more minutes.
My reading.
Imagine us all naked.
My reading comprehension has failed me. The point is, a lot of these Jordan Star cards have been submitted. None of them in PSA have ever gotten more than a 9. Okay. Specifically, 404 of the Jordan cards and more than 7,000 cards from that star set have been submitted, and only 13 of those have ever gotten a 10. So if you, and there are a lot of reprints of those out there. Mm-hmm. So if you think, hey, I've got that 84 star Jordan card, get it graded. Because if you do, awesome. You're going to get lots and lots of money. The last PSA 9 of that Jordan card, which is viewed as his, like, by some, his true rookie, $925,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
jeez.
What I meant to say was the card, the individual specific card that has been graded the most times and never got a 10 is the 1958 Topps Baseball Mickey Mantle All-Star card.
Okay, that's a beautiful card.
It is a beautiful
card. One of my favorite ones is the Willie Mays in that, too.
Ooh, I do like that. It has been submitted for grading 12,000 times. Never gotten a 10. And that is, to me, that is just absolutely incredible. And then, believe it or not, also on the list, 1982 Wrestling All-Stars, Andre the Giant, number one, and Hulk Hogan, number two. Thousands of these have been submitted because these are their quote-unquote rookie cards. None of them have ever gotten a 10. So to Corey's point, if you're going through your stuff and you find one of these that's already graded, you're probably going to be able to make a lot of money.
But it also sounds like if you find one that's not, you know, not graded, you still have a chance to make some money because there aren't many 10s.
So,
you know, like they're like nine's about as high as you
can.
No,
you're right. And I will tell you, one of the things that happens at the Dallas Card Show, and you see this a lot, is people going around to vintage tables and they're examining, trying to figure out, can I grade this? Can I make a profit off of this card that's not graded?
All right. I love what you're saying. Can I tease the audience about maybe what could happen next week with a certain baseball card that I could be getting?
Oh, sure. Go for it.
So if during these playoffs, it happened last year in the playoffs too, but even more this year, Topps has done a better job at this. It's kind of a lottery ticket system. It's called Topps now. It's on Topps.com. But when Shohei Ohtani got 50-50, they immediately put out a card and they say, if you want to buy it, we're going to print as many as you want. And so they printed in this card. It's the most ever by far. It got 647,000 people wanted this card. Well, it's also a lottery ticket because however many you buy, you're also entered in to possibly get a one-of-one Shohei Ohtani autograph card of this, where Shohei autographs, it's like it turns out to be like a gold-looking card, and Shohei Ohtani puts 50-50, signs it Shohei Ohtani. That card will probably on the open market go for $300,000. And then they also have ones that they had a few other ones that would be autographed like a numbered to five. And then a couple of ones where I believe they take like part of the base and they put the base in there that he stole, something like that. Well, I did that. I didn't get anything special. I just got 20 of the base cards. I did not win any one that was numbered. Obviously, I did not get one that is autographed. I did it for the Juan Soto home run. I thought that was a very cool moment in baseball history when he hit the home run against Cleveland to send the New York Yankees to the World Series. So I was like, screw it. I'll do it again. I'll pay approximately the $180. I'll get 20 of these cards, and maybe I'll get lucky. I rarely ever do. I ordered Wyatt Langford cards of these, never got lucky on any of the Wyatt Langfords, and I've recently received in my email, hey, we are super tracking your order of these Juan Soto cards to you. And I was looking back, I was like, that didn't happen on my Wyatt Langford orders. It didn't happen on my Shohei Ohtani order. But on this Juan Soto order,
you think it's something special.
I'm like, why are they tracking this one so much? I've gone back into my email to see if Topps has ever tracked my order this much on just a basic order. So I'm thinking that I might have something special in this Juan Soto order if it's getting tracked this specifically through my email. When I get this package, I'm going to assume next week because it said it's shipping out today. So I will probably get it either during the weekend or next week. I will bring this up to our show. I will not open this Topps package until I get it, and I will open it up here. Maybe it's absolutely nothing, and I just get the 20 cards, and then it'll be a big wah-wah. Maybe I open it up, and I get the one-of-one Juan Soto autograph card that my wife asked me. She's like, if it is, how much do you think it's worth? And I said, well, I would immediately give it to, like, Heritage Auctions or something. And I said, my guess would be $50,000.
From the 214, I bought 80 of those 50-50 Shohei cards. Good luck, Mike.
And you got nothing, right?
I don't know. I don't know if they've gotten theirs yet.
They already got theirs. That's
Mike,
well been delivered.
If you hit the big one, are you gonna like just be like, screw you guys, I'm out of here, and just throw all your stuff?
Do you want me to?
I think it'd be hilarious.
I will.
Not
I
dare necessarily.
You just told me to.
I dare. Yeah.
And if you dare me, I will.
It's always been that way.
Couple more quick things. Is there an expiration date for gradings? I feel like if you scored something 10 to 15 years ago, it should be regraded. I'll tell you this. There is not. But there is a lot of thought out there that graders used to be significantly easier on cards. And they were like,
because they were high.
Yeah, that's good enough. That's a 7. And now if you submitted that card, they'd be like, that's like a 5.
Oh, no.
And so there is some thought about that. And then from the 817, my wife's dad, he passed away, has about 1,000 baseball cards from the late 80s, early 90s. Some are in sleeves, some unopened boxes, found them in the attic. How can I determine if they're worth anything? Unfortunately, that is from what they call the junk era. So there's probably not a lot there. However, you can go to eBay or you can always bring stuff up to Buffalo Wild Wings. We've absolutely done that before. But remember, if you go on eBay, look at the sold category.
Yes.
Not the Nimrod who's like, I got a box of 88 Donruss baseball for $10,000.
That I'm recently like, happened not, with Adrian, my grandmother's like Corningware. She was like, this is unique Corningware. And she looked and it was like $45,000 for a pot. And I was like, hold on. I learned a trick from Mike and Kevin. And I went and looked and I was like, it's 200. Still a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not 45 grand.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Hurts keeps it himself. Has some room. Hurts at the 10. 5. Touchdown! Jalen Hurts with the score.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Heggy. How are you?
I am doing very well, too. Thank you for asking. Now, I wanted to talk about, we've talked about a whole lot of scary aspects of the Eagles throughout the week, but the last four games of Jalen Hurts, 70%. Plus completion percentage, more than 1,000 yards passing, but he also has 12 touchdowns with no interceptions and no fumbles. And people have clowned on Jalen Hurts for a while about turning the ball over, but a Jalen Hurts who doesn't turn the football over is a scary player, is he not?
A lot of 12 personnel.
Yeah.
You know, and that helps. And a really good running back that can run like wheel routes and you throw him the ball and it ends up being touchdowns. So there's the threat of that. They're a little banged up in their offensive line, though, right now.
That's true.
So, you know, that's been a little bit of a problem for them. But he's done a really good job of his mobility and buying himself a second chance, third chance, throwing the football. He's eliminated that throw where he just throws it into the middle of the field and really doesn't care about it. You know, like he could roll to his right and just all of a sudden he's firing it across his body and but they've got some outstanding players when you look at the skill with Smith. And then, you know, they're going to get back Goddard this week. And Dallas really hasn't covered tight ends very well. I mean, last week they did a really nice job. But up until that time, it's been a little bit of a problem for them. So, yeah, he's got some really good weapons. And he's doing a better job protecting the ball. And they got a really good running game, too.
I think the good news there, Heggy, is the Eagles have had a bad run of schedule teammates or opponents. It's been
okay.
It's been easy. Okay, that's what I meant to say. It's been easy.
Yeah.
The bad news though is that continues this week against the Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about it. I know Corey brought it up too about, you know, you're talking about the offense that, you know, what they've had the offenses they've faced, you know, on defense. It's, you know, the Giants. Giants gave up 8 damn sacks. You know, they've had 14 sacks in the last four games. And 8 of them were in one game.
Yeah.
You know, and they've really, if you look, they have a deal. It's kind of funny. They're starting their edges, you know, in this game. You know, their guys have been better off the field on run defense than on the field. So, you know, it's kind of one of those weird things where you kind of, they're like, people have run the ball on the edges against these guys a little bit. And that's been a problem for the Eagles.
Now, the Mavericks win last night, and they put together a defensive effort that, considering no PJ, no Derek Lively, was far better than I anticipated. So, dual question, any thoughts about the Mavs yesterday, especially defensively? And I'm a little concerned about Derek Lively, both now and in the future, just in terms of maybe racking up some injuries.
Yeah, you know, and they'll say, well, this is a freak injury or, you know, that one, you know, it's not going to repeat itself. But I do feel like injured guys keep getting hurt and the start of his career is not great. So, yeah, you do everything you can, right? You fall in love with the weight room and the trainer and doing all the physical therapy stuff that hopefully can keep your soft tissue supported as good as possible. And maybe as he grows into his body, he'll have more success with that. I know Tyson Chandler certainly did. But yeah, you know, against the Bulls, you look good in a lot of ways
yeah.
because they're just, they're
and not, no Zach LaVine yeah. and yeah. no Lonzo. Yeah.
I was kind of looking at Derek Lively and thinking about Josh Young for the Rangers and like how important he is. But like some of these fluky, and you're like, you wonder, is he injury prone? Are these just fluky things? But they're such great players when, and you need them. And so we were talking with Bobby Crell yesterday, and it kind of popped in my head like that comparison right now.
Yeah. What did he deal with at Duke? He was hurt at Duke too, right?
Yes.
He might have missed a couple of games at the beginning, but he played most of the season, I do believe.
Just having to be at Duke, you know, I think that was
taking a couple games off. With bigs, though, like, I don't know, do you view them any differently? I feel like it's rare that you get centers that stay healthy, right? Like, there's always going to be something. I mean, for him, it, at least it doesn't seem like they are kind of fluky injuries that are a little bit out of his control. If it was he's constantly missing games because like, oh, my back's sore or something like that, that seems to be lingering issues, I think then I would start to be a little bit more concerned about it.
The other thing, too, is like he is one of those quick twitch guys and he flies everywhere and lands hard. Him and Gafford, I'm always like, please take care of your body, because those dudes will go up and then just hit the floor. And I'm like, no, please don't do that. But that's how they play. They're not reckless, but they play with the all-out intensity when they get on the court. And that's his style. So, Kevin, if he needs to take a few rest days in order to go give you that when he gets back out on the court,
that's
I'm okay.
That's fine. If that's what's happening. But when you hear, hey, he's trending in the right direction, we don't have a return date yet, I'm like, okay, so maybe a minute longer, it feels like.
I heard it was minor, but to your point, I can't dispute because there was no timeline. I heard from some people over there it was a minor injury.
That would be fantastic. Even though the Bulls aren't a good team, I was still impressed with the defensive effort that the Mavericks put up yesterday without, they make a pretty strong argument, their two best defenders in PJ Washington and Derek Lively. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold is always, Hagee. Thanks for asking. It's a double guest Thursday here. Of course, we got Eric Kendricks coming up at 5 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio.
Nice. I like Ari quite a bit.
He's a good guy.
All right, roll home.
He's here every morning.
Yes.
I know. I did not realize that. I heard you guys mention it once, and I was talking to him today. And it's like, yeah, I'm there every morning. Like, oh, I had no idea.
In the building, just hanging out.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make sure you come see us tomorrow. Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, 5601 South Hewlin. Or you can tune in 10 to 2 right here on 105 Through the Fan.
How many shows have we done this week?
4?
Paul?
No.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.